Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome in to the Inside Carolina podcast, presented to you by Giant T-Shirt and GiantT-Shirt.com. This is the Don Callahan UNC football recruiting podcast. Of course, I'm joined by Don Callahan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. Just I'm glad you could squeeze me into your busy schedule tonight. You got a lot going on. You did a fantasy football draft yesterday?
Yeah, last night.
Was it college football or NFL?
NFL.
I've started to dabble into college football the last couple of seasons, and I'm in like a pretty hardcore league this year I got into.
The same setup with like points and stuff, just with college players?
Yeah. Same setup basically, but it's like just a whole new ball game, especially when you're in a league like this where it's not just Power 5 guys, it's like the entire nation. So it's like, or I guess yeah. FBS guys. But yeah, on top of that, it's like nationwide, the group of guys and girls that are part of this league. So it's different for me, but yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I do two leagues. It's enough. You know, people do baseball and NBA, but I don't know. I like to take a break from sports after football, all the football work we do, podcasting and fantasy football. It's enough. All right. Good stuff. You know, recording here on Wednesday morning, a couple days after UNC defeated South Carolina 24-20. That's kind of where we're going to start the podcast. First, we only got two submissions from our top five, and I thought it was a great top five question. Name your your top five bucket list sporting event, and we only got two responses, so we're going to give you another week. So send your top five bucket list items for sports to Don Callahan, either on Twitter, DM on the message boards, or email him as well. Don, anything there to add?
Yeah, my Twitter handle, of course, is at Don Callahan IC, and on Inside Carolina, it's just Don Callahan, I think.
Good stuff. And then let's go into the little what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to talk about the impact of the win in Charlotte over South Carolina on recruiting. We've talked this whole summer about kind of the competition between UNC and South Carolina for recruits. That is just part of the story. Obviously, a big win kind of changes the atmosphere and direction of this program. Don talked to a lot of recruits following that game, some that were in Charlotte, so we'll touch on that. We're going to get into the Miami game, primetime game underneath the lights, 8 p.m. on Saturday in Keene Stadium, and just kind of give our listeners a brief recap of why these home games are so important for recruiting as they move into the 2021 class and look to the 2022 class as well. Some updates on particular players like Sean Martin, a former UNC commitment, and Josh Downs, a current UNC commitment. And then we're going to do something new, and we're going to do this every once in a while when there's not much recruiting news. We're going to look back at previous recruiting classes, and starting with Larry Fedora's first recruiting class, and just do a recap and a look back at those players. So we're going to take each recruit, look at their rankings, and look at their UNC career and discuss each player and the overall class. And this is going to be a segment at the end of certain podcasts. We won't do it every week, but every once in a while we'll throw in these. We did some research last night. I think it'd be pretty cool to kind of think back about these recruits and get some chatter on certain players. Don, thoughts on the schedule we have laid out and that last little segment we're going to do?
I love it. I'm just worried that I know that we have a time constraint, and I can get a little long-winded, and which gets Ross mad. And so I'm underneath a lot of pressure to make sure I keep my answers pretty short and concise.
There you go. So make sure you stay for that. Let's start. Start where we're going to start with Charlotte. There were a lot of recruits there, and UNC won. Don, what was your kind of takeaway from the Tar Heels getting a huge victory over the Gamecocks in terms of how that affects recruiting for this class and future classes and what just current commits and maybe top recruits have said?
Personally, I'm still kind of in shock that UNC won, because for the last couple of seasons, these were games that UNC lost. I do, obviously, you and Greg are more in tune with this sort of stuff, but I do think Mac Brown, his point about the just being physically prepared and not being tired out, and the conditioning really kind of played a big role in UNC being able to to pull it out. Plus, it helps to have a guy like Sam Howell, who's just a gamer. We talked about him a bunch in the last podcast. So if anybody hasn't listened to that podcast, we went in depth about just his recruitment and just him as a player. So, yeah, but as far as the recruits are concerned, obviously everything was all positive. There was a lot of commits who are in attendance. Desmond Evans was in attendance. We talked to him a little bit, although we haven't ran anything on him. Yeah, everything was positive. Yeah, he's not going to give you a whole lot. You know, obviously, he's, you know, good game, that sort of thing. The commits, it was, you know, a lot of validation for their feelings. I think Ethan West said it best. Was I'm going to read his quote, and he said, "I thought it was a great win for the program. It just shows everyone what we committed guys already knew, that we're going to be back and we're going to be back soon." And I think that kind of sums up just what sort of impact that this win has on this recruiting class. Just, you know, there's a lot of guys who believed in the vision that Mac Brown was delivering, and that it kind of makes them feel like, okay, yes, I don't feel like a fool for following this guy, because he's producing, he's showing what he's able to do. And I know a lot of fans are like, all right, this win, it means that UNC is going to start flipping a bunch of guys committed elsewhere to commit to SEC schools. I don't see that happening. Maybe I think what's more likely going to happen for guys like Trent Simpson or the guys that are committed to South Carolina is once coaching changes start to happen, that's more likely when you're going to start to see some commitment flips and that sort of thing. What did you think of all that stuff in the game?
Surprising win, huge win over an SEC school, which I think changes the trajectory of this season and expectations, which has an impact on, you know, maybe a commitment here and there in the 2020 class. But it's if they can build on this win and get a couple more wins, I think it really changes who they can maybe get in with in the 2021 class, and they can show immediate progression.
You were in Charlotte, right?
I was.
What was the atmosphere like in Bank of America Stadium?
I mean, from where we were, the it didn't look very. There wasn't a lot of Carolina fans from where we sat, and we were facing the sunny side. So it wasn't a huge atmosphere. That's a huge stadium, too. I don't think UNC traveled very well, but they got the win. I think that's more important there. What do you think this win and future wins this season, you know, getting to 5, 6, 7 wins, can have on recruiting in general?
It's going to have more of an impact on the 2021 class. And it's going to, I think, the way that the Carolina played, kind of just, like I said before, just validates what Mac Brown is pitching to a lot of these recruits. Because obviously North Carolina is not going to win the ACC conference this season. But what you need to do is you need to say, okay, we're on the right track to eventually achieve those sort of things at North Carolina. And so this season is all about kind of showing that promise. And if you're able to show that promise, I think it's really going to help with the 2021 class and the 2022 class. And as we've talked about before, the 2021 class is it's just an absolute banner year for the state of North Carolina. There's, what was it, like 17 in-state 4-stars for that class right now.
Good stuff. And then looking ahead to this weekend, UNC probably has their biggest, you know, primetime home game, the second game of the season against Miami, 8 p.m. in Keenan Stadium. This is the first home game for UNC and the first time players can get on campus, recruits can get on campus for unofficial visits. In general, can you speak to the importance of these home games for recruiting and for UNC recruiting? And then more specifically, how a game like this, at this point in the season, can impact recruiting when it's Miami, it's prime time, it's going to be probably the most fans and students in the stadium for the whole season?
Well, generally speaking, for a home game, it's basically you're showing your program, you're showing off your program, you're showing off your fans, you're showing off your game day traditions, the pageantry, you know, just the feel of your campus, your stadium on a game day. And that matters tremendously for recruits, even though when you're looking at this as an adult, you're thinking, okay, you have 6-7 Saturdays out of the year, and there's a whole lot more days that you're going to be on campus. So why do these 6 or 7 days matter so much? But they do, because that's really the main reason why a lot of these kids are coming to your school to play for your football program. So that's number one. With Miami in particular, it's huge because, one, as you mentioned, it's an 8 o'clock game. And it's great for the UNC commits and the UNC recruits who have never been to Chapel Hill, or I'm sorry, to Keenan Stadium for a game, really, because of it's going to be a night game. And everyone knows night games are better than day games as far as the atmosphere and just the overall view and feeling of the game. But, you know, Miami also is still a brand program, the U, that sort of thing. They're going to have some players out there for sure. It's an ACC game, so all of that stuff matters. I expect, barring the hurricane really kind of dampering travel plans, I expect a pretty good crowd of recruits for the game for sure.
It's awesome. Of course, Don will have his premium list of expected visitors for the UNC Miami game that will drop later in the week, and obviously the targeted kind of offered big time recruits that are expected on campus for Saturday's Miami games. Look out for that for our premium subscribers. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get into some more 2020 news with recruits and some news that kind of developed this week when we get back on the Inside Carolina podcast. And I want to talk about Johnny T-Shirt, our valued sponsor here at Inside Carolina. They're right on Franklin Street. They deliver the best customer service, the best local service for anyone looking for UNC apparel. Check them out right on Franklin Street and GiantT-Shirt.com. Remember, all IC subscribers get 10% off with the discount code you can find on the message board. Get stuff for Christmas, for holidays. When you come to campus for the Miami game, get a T-shirt, a sweatshirt, a hat, anything you need. Make sure you go to GiantT-Shirt.com. They support us, and that allows us to do all these different podcasts. We have 6 or 7 podcasts a week, and that's because of support of listeners like you and GiantT-Shirt.com. So check them out, GiantT-Shirt, GiantT-Shirt.com, and support the Inside Carolina podcast. Okay, let's get right back into it. Don, scroll up here on the old Google Doc. So we talked about the impact of Charlotte recruiting, the impact of this Miami home game. There's a little bit of developing news here with a couple players that I kind of picked out from your weekly scoop. Of course, check that out on InsideCarolina.com. Don's weekly scoop is great information for recruiting stuff, some team stuff, great quotes and insight. But I want to pull the little tidbit you dropped about Sean Martin. Briefly, can you discuss kind of what's going on with him? He's a former UNC commitment, a defensive end, outside linebacker type player that ended up decommitting from UNC.
Yeah, so he, even when he decommitted, he was pretty upfront about saying that North Carolina is still a school that he's considering. He just needed to, I guess, step away and wanted to visit other schools before, I guess, formally ending his recruitment. At the time that I wrote that column, I had spoken to his mother, who said that they were considering going to the game. She has since text messaged me back and said that they will definitely be going. Obviously, again, this all depends on the weather and all that sort of stuff. But the way the situation looks like now, the way you're talking to sources from different corners of the situation, seems like Sean is definitely wanting to stay in state at West Virginia, but is definitely going to do his due diligence. North Carolina, depending, you know, from what I've, I guess, heard from my sources, you get a lot of mixed signals here. Some are a little bit unhappy that he decommitted. Some are saying, yeah, we would take him. We love him. His athleticism, his potential. Some are also mentioning, hey, you know, we have a really good class and have really good group of defensive linemen already. So it still kind of remains to be seen what ends up happening, how much North Carolina ends up recruiting him, how much North Carolina really wants him, and if it really even matters because he ultimately it wants to stay closer to home and attend WVU.
Good stuff there. And then Josh Downs, you dropped some good news for UNC fans about Josh Downs, a top wide receiver recruit in this 2020 class. What do you have for us there?
Well, you know, he, just to kind of, I guess, to take a step back, you know, obviously he committed way back in, I think it was back in February. And then, but in May, he took this, what he thought was a secret visit to South Carolina, and eventually kind of was exposed to be that he was actually on campus, even though he denied it initially. And then
it
he
was,
just...
It was secret until you sniffed it out, you dirty dog.
And then he of course returned to UNC for the Showtime camp, and then a week after that took an official visit to Penn State and was just pretty open about it, realizing, hey, things don't hide very easily in the recruiting world nowadays. But he has, in this story that we posted, he shut it down. He says he's no longer going to make any more visits to any of the schools. He had planned to at least visit Penn State and a couple other schools for games this football season. He says he's no longer doing that. We got some, I guess, tips about him heading in that direction a couple of weeks ago. The Penn State guys on 24/7, because they actually talked to their sources, and their sources told them that Penn State was trying to get him back on campus, and they, I guess, reached out to Downs, and his parents were like, no, we're done, that sort of stuff. But Downs didn't make himself available for contact until this past weekend. When we talked to him, he confirmed it all, said that he had a meeting with his parents, and they all just decided it was best to just shut it down. North Carolina is where he wants to be. Didn't want to kind of flirt with disaster, you know, visiting someplace else, and then maybe North Carolina say, hey, we don't want to deal with this anymore, that sort of thing. So it's just simple. You want to be in North Carolina, just be in North Carolina, continue to recruit for North Carolina. So UNC obviously is happy about that. Four-star guy.
Yeah, four-star guy, number 21 player in the state of Georgia, number 202 overall in the 2020 class, 5'10", 165, small receiver. But in an offense, it definitely needs a lot of talent in a lot of different ways. All right, good stuff. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more info. We're going to dive into the 2012 class with a look back at recruits and how that class kind of ranks up to other classes at UNC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And we're back. All right, this is the new segment we're going to do every once in a while. I think it's going to be pretty cool and a chance to really reflect on different players, kind of a where are they now type deal in terms of their time at UNC, how they performed, and how they kind of rank up and then compare to their recruiting rankings and what they did at UNC. Are you ready, Don?
Yeah, so what order? Now, you and I split up the list in half as far as like doing the research. Do you want to go in the order of their ranking on 24/7?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now, but sure, yeah. So we want, you'll read the name, I'll read the name, we'll go in the order of the ranking, and then you'll give a brief recap of their recruitment and their rating, the recruiting ranking, and then we split it up. So each of us have half, roughly, of kind of what they did at UNC and where are they now type deal, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, where are they now for some of them and maybe not for all of them?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So we're going to start at the top now. I'll read the name and then you dive in with a little bit of background and then whoever has that person will go. All right. 2020 class. This is Larry Fedora's first recruiting class. He was hired, I'm assuming, around in December of that year. And then they already had some people committed. But, of course, the signing day was in February. So they had a month or two to put together this recruiting class. This is Larry Fedora and that staff's first recruiting class to UNC back in 2012. Is that how you remember it?
Yeah, and the one thing I remember was that he actually didn't hit the road recruiting immediately because his he was at Southern Miss at the time, and they were playing in a bowl game. I believe it was in Hawaii.
Correct.
And he wanted to make sure he devoted his time to that team because of just an allegiance to them. That kind of made some UNC fans unhappy. I understood completely. So he actually didn't really get the ball. I mean, he started with phone calls and that sort of thing, but I don't think he really hit the road with his staff until January, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I mean, I think once you get hired, you got to move and start recruiting. So I think that was his first mistake. All right. I guess I'm a little harsher critic than you are. Quinshaw Davis from Gaffney, South Carolina. Gaffney with the big peach on the highway there. 6'4", 190. Dive into Quinshaw for us with his background.
Well, he's a four-star guy, and he's a guy that UNC actually won over on signing day. This was, I guess, the first signing day win for Larry Fedora. Wake Forest was involved. South Carolina was involved. I think Clemson tried to get involved, but really what it came down to was Quinshaw's relationship with Gunnar Brewer. And like I said, he committed to UNC on signing day.
And he has a rating of 89. Do you want to explain those ratings?
Yeah. So basically, I mean, 24/7 Sports is not as simple as just, you know, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, even though most fans kind of just view it that way. But within the 3-star, which is what most guys are ranked, we have you see that little number next to the guy's name. It's like a 0.8961, which is Quinshaw Davis's number. And the way that they break that down is if it's an 80 to an 83, they're considered a group of five guy, impact group of five guy, maybe a backup power five guy. 84 to 86 is a solid power five starter, you know, a guy, a multi-year starter sort of guy. From 87 to 90, we're now starting to talk about impact power five guys, guys who aren't just starters, but you have a good year or two, probably get drafted. And then once we get into the 90s, we're talking about guys who are expected to get drafted, make huge impacts on their college programs. And then what 24/7 does is, of that group of guys, the top 32 are 5-stars, and those are guys who are believed to eventually going to be first-round draft picks for the NFL draft.
Good stuff. That's a great kind of explanation of those numbers, because I think the average person wouldn't know what that means. So when you're looking at recruits now, you can look at that number and kind of remember that it's a staggered system of kind of what you expect from them. And every player is ranked. There's a staff at 24/7 Sports that goes through and applies a number to each of these players. A number can change throughout the recruitment. So back to Quinshaw Davis as we wrap this up. Quinshaw Davis with a number of 89-61. This is how his UNC career went. I went through every single player. Let me find Quinshaw here. Sorry for the delay. Okay, so I mean, his career was incredible. I mean, he came in immediately and contributed in the 2012 season. He was an honorable mention freshman All-American. He appeared in all 12 games, started the final 10 games as a freshman, and had 61 catches for 776 yards and 5 touchdowns. I mean, he was the biggest impact freshman in this class. He continued this consistency sophomore, junior, and senior year. He was All-ACC honorable mention his sophomore year, 48 catches, a team high 10 touchdowns. His 10 touchdowns, receiving touchdowns, are the third most in school history. He continued it again with 41 catches as his junior in his junior season and 6 touchdowns. So pretty consistent. I mean, obviously his freshman year, 61 catches was a massive number, and it kind of stayed around the 40s the next 2 years. And then as a senior, he started all 14 games. That was 2015. His big season, he had a team high 55 receptions, was actually tied with Ryan Switzer for 638 yards and 4 touchdowns. Of course, that one touchdown against Virginia Tech in Blacksburg clinched UNC's Coastal Division Championship. He was All-ACC, I will mention, as a senior. He set a bunch of receiving records, including 25 career touchdowns, school record for career receptions at the time with 205. I think Ryan Switzer ended up breaking that and finished with 2,614 career receiving yards, which I'm not sure if Switzer broke that one, but I know a lot of his records were broken by Quinshon Davis. An incredible receiving career that I don't think a lot of people realize, because he's kind of a quiet guy, but just very consistent throughout his career. And he is now, after flirting with the NFL, I think he was on the Lions. He was not drafted, which is crazy, but he was on the Lions, trying to make a roster spot with them during camp. But now he's in his, I want to say, third year on the staff at UNC as a offensive receivers GA.
Yep.
Is that about right? Anything you want to add?
Yeah. No. No, I think it's a good, really good research there. So we want to, now his rating was an 89-61, and that would imply that he was an impact Power 5 guy. Do you feel like that's correct for him? That's where he should have been?
Yeah. I mean, 4-star guy, impact, right in that 87 to 90 range. As I pull this back up, that kind of fits perfectly there. High end of that, too. I mean, he was an impact starter for 4 years.
Yeah.
No, all right, great.
I agree. All right, our next guy is J.J. Patterson. He was another 4-star guy. 89-40 was his rating. He was from Roanoke Rapids. That's the biggest thing with him, was that he was during that time where North Carolina had this pipeline of D linemen from Roanoke Rapids coming to UNC. He was kind of in the middle of that with in between Kareem Martin and Nas Jones. He was a guy who grew up a UNC fan, so it was just only a matter of time for him to become at North Carolina. You actually had the research on him, right?
Correct. Anything about his recruitment other than that stood out? I don't remember this guy, honestly. I mean, I didn't cover the team back then, so.
Yeah. I mean, really, that was the thumbnail version of him. I mean, wasn't much else. I know that when you get into your, description of his career, it's going to be very short, because academics was a big thing for him and obstacle for him. And that kind of led to his demise at North Carolina, but I'll let you get into that.
Yeah, I couldn't find much on him. I mean, he redshirted in 2012, his freshman season. He played defensive tackle in 2013, but I don't think he was a big-time impact player, more of a reserve. And then he moved over to the offensive line, offensive guard, in the spring of 2014. But I found some articles. I mean, this isn't that long ago. Y'all probably remember some of this. He wasn't on the UNC roster in the spring, following the spring of 2014, entering camp. So he wasn't on the 105 preseason camp list. And I think that was it. I think it must have been academics. He's kicked off the team and never played again for the Tar Heels. He played really only one season and redshirted 1 year. That's all. I couldn't find if he transferred or played anywhere else or anything like that.
Yeah, there was. I talked to his old high school coach. I bumped into him at a camp like a year or two ago. And he just talked about how JJ just wasn't focused on academics, and a lot of people tried to get through to him and said, hey, you have some talent. I mean, because we're talking about a 4-star guy here, and he just didn't want to, put in the work in the classroom to be able to take advantage of his God-given talent, and it's sad, you know?
Yeah, I have no idea where he is now. It's kind of crazy. You think about all these classes, a lot of these players, they never come back to UNC. They never have any association with the program. They have a short career, and you never hear from them again. And who knows what they're doing, or who knows their connection to UNC, a school they went to and obviously played for. All right, moving on. Philip,
we got to talk about his rating. So how do we compare this? Because this is, the one thing that the blind spot in the rankings is, you have a kid who really, it wasn't because of his talent, which is what the evaluators are looking at, but because of his own, off the field stuff. You know, he obviously wasn't an impact player, but what's your assessment of giving the situation?
I mean, yeah, he had a pretty high ranking, 4-star, and he was a bust because of outside reasons, academics. It wasn't necessarily because of his play, but he wasn't the full package, which is a big part of recruiting. You got to find guys that can succeed where they are. You know, at UNC is a bit harder. You have to be motivated to work and academically, and I guess that didn't work out for him.
All right. We'll go to the next guy.
Yeah, we got to move along. Philip Williamson out of Durham Jordan High School, outside linebacker, 6'3", 215. 3-star guy, had a ranking of 0.8867. That was your guy, Don. Take it away.
Well, he is another guy who academics were certainly not his friend. As far as his recruitment was concerned, he was another guy who, big UNC fan. He was really close, if we go back further, with T.J. Thorpe. They were teammates, and at the time, T.J. Thorpe was at UNC, and so that really helped UNC kind of land Williamson, but he seemed destined for North Carolina. But as far as his UNC career, very, very short. As a redshirt freshman, he left. And he left, and this research is definitely kind of spotty for a lot of these guys. I don't know if he ever made it to Butler Community College, but that was his intention, was to transfer to Butler Community College. Then during his sophomore year, he reappeared at Winston-Salem State. I don't see any evidence of him playing or anything whatsoever. Beyond that, the big thing with him was he actually played safety in high school, but came into North Carolina as a linebacker and then eventually kind of grew into a defensive lineman. That's where I think he was ultimately going to play for North Carolina. Didn't get the chance to, obviously, and that's where he was listed on Winston-Salem State's roster at that time. He's another guy. I think we'll put him in the same category, a bust because of outside situation. What do you think?
Yeah, no time to dwell on him. We got to move on. All right, Caleb Peterson out of Auburn, Alabama. Like you said at the top, he committed to Southern Miss and followed the staff to North Carolina. 6'4", 310, had a ranking of 8794.8794. This was your guy, Don, briefly on his recruitment and his career at UNC.
Yeah, his recruitment is pretty cut and dry. Like I mentioned, he was committed to Southern Miss mostly because, and he was actually a pretty highly recruited guy, but his brother had played for Coach Cap, which is UNC's former offensive line coach. And so that's why he wanted to play at Southern Miss. And then when Coach Cap came with Larry Fedora to North Carolina, it was pretty easy to get Caleb to switch, took an official visit. And then during that official visit, he committed to UNC and changed his commitment. But as far as his career is concerned, it's kind of he definitely played a lot, 42 career starts, and he started all 12 games as a freshman. But injuries definitely kind of hampered him, particularly in his senior season. He started the first 5 games and then had season-ending back surgery. He really was a 4-year starter minus some of these injuries, and it just was unfortunate that injuries kind of hampered him throughout his career, but definitely a solid guy. His ranking was an 87.94. Where do you? I gotta think that's kind of hit it, right? I mean, he's an impact guy, but I wouldn't put him on the high end of impact. What do you think?
Yeah, it fits perfectly. I mean, I think he had a chance to make it in the NFL if he didn't get injured his senior year. I mean, they really liked him. He was a tough guy. I mean, Cap spoke so high of him. He was a big senior leader on that 2015 team when everything kind of clicked for UNC. Like, there weren't many injuries. He started 14 games. Everybody was healthy that year. But like you said, 42 starts, started all 4 years, but was injured after 5 games his senior season. A big-time leader. I remember covering him. Just a vocal guy, kind of country, that was tough and expected a lot of his guys and was key to kind of that upsurge with UNC in the 15-16 season.
All right. So our next guy, introduce our next guy.
All right. My guy, Shaquille Rashad out of Jacksonville, Florida, entering as an outside linebacker, 6'2", 215 as a recruit. His number is 0.8774. I remember I know Shaquille pretty well. He told me he had no idea about the staff. He had already committed. He didn't really care who was coaching. He just showed up in January. He was the early enrollee and, I don't think he knew much about the new staff. He just all right, I'm going to Carolina. Showed up in January, and that was it. Can you tell us about his recruitment, and we'll go from there?
Yeah, he actually committed over a year before signing day. I remember it being such a surprise. And I think at the time he was a four-star guy that obviously dropped down throughout the year. And really, I mean, he did what every kid says they're going to do, make a decision based on off of academics. And it kind of fits with the story that you just shared, was he committed to North Carolina because he liked its academic situation. And that's all he was looking for. So even with the coaching change, because it actually, he went through three, because you had Butch Davis being fired, then you had Everett Withers situation, and then obviously you had Larry Fedora, and he stuck through, really didn't bat an eye. I remember each time something happened, I would call him. He was great to deal with, answered every question. But as far as his career, you played in 43 games at UNC, made 16 career starts, including all 14 games as a senior, was a solid guy, playing linebacker, obviously made some academic All-American list during his time, during his senior season, which is obviously his best year because he started all those games. He was second on the team with 126 tackles. He tried out for Houston Texans for a little bit, kind of went back and forth for a couple seasons with them, but never actually made the team or played in any games for the Texans. But definitely a solid guy who actually did some coaching at North Carolina. I don't think he's around the program any longer. I actually don't know what he's doing these days, but I know for the last couple seasons he was helping out with the staff.
Yeah, I think it was 1 year, and I believe it was last year or the year before. He was a GA along with Jeff Schottmer, and we did a couple interviews with him. He finally said Carolina. But yeah, one thing I would know about him is that he was brought in as a bandit in Coach Koenig's defensive system, and he had to put on a lot of weight. It was kind of that flex position between outside linebacker and defensive end. And he did that for two or three seasons, and then Koenig was fired, and he moved to linebacker his senior season, lost some weight, and that's when he really thrived. He had 18 tackles as that bandit position his junior year, and then he had 126 tackles as a senior playing just straight linebacker. That felt like a more natural position for him. Led the team with 8.5 tackles, 3 forced fumbles, and was a big-time leader on that 2015 team that obviously won 11 games and went to the ACC championship game. Like you said, NFL practice team, that kind of stuff. He was on a practice team at Houston. I believe he's now living in Wilmington and works for a sports agency. Last time I checked on him, pretty active on Twitter, big UNC fan. He was in Charlotte for the game, a great ambassador for the university and a great guy to deal with.
What did you say about his ranking? 87, 87 ranking. Would you say?
Yeah, it fits. I think it fits pretty well.
I would say he's a little bit further south. I would say he's kind of in that mid range.
Yeah, more like 85, 86 is where he should have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Power five guy. He didn't thrive until his senior year, but senior year is great. But I don't think he was ever going to be an NFL player.
Yeah.
But he was at times impact, but at times reserve for UNC. All right, good stuff on Shaquille. Great guy. Joe Jackson's next. First Coast High School in Jacksonville, Florida. Outside linebacker, 6'2", 215. His ranking is 0.8713. What can you tell us about Joe Jackson's recruitment?
Well, I know North Carolina had kind of battled it out with him towards the end. Some other schools tried to get in on him. He was a guy that the prior defensive staff, Vic Koenig, really, really liked. And he, they won him over in January. Really not a whole lot else. He had a teammate that the staff liked a lot more, end up going to Miami. But yeah. So what can you tell us about him?
Yeah, Joe Jackson. I forgot about this guy, but obviously I did my research last night, Don, as you were sleeping and I was working. let me find him here. Sorry. Okay, so he redshirted in 2012, played a little bit in 2013, played a little bit more in 2014, and then he was a starter in 15. And that's obviously his junior season. You're thinking this guy's going to have a solid career. Developing as you could expect, and got injured in the South Carolina game in 2015. I remember this. He was a starter at linebacker, and he never played again. He medically retired after a neck injury he suffered at linebacker, and that's all I got on him. He left the team. He retired from football, so his football career ended after just one game his junior season in 2015.
All right, so 87 ranking.
I mean, yeah, based on that, it's a little overranked, I would say. But he was also hurt by injury, so we didn't get to see necessarily his full career in those last 2 years.
So what would you give him now?
Well, in the 80, probably 84 to 86 range, right?
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. Next guy, TJ Giles.
All right.
Cape Coral.
Yeah, defensive back, 6'1", 175. His ranking is 8703. This was my guy as well. TJ Giles, yeah, I mean, he played all four seasons. He played his freshman season, appeared in 11 games, a lot on special teams and as a backup defensive back. Played 12 games his sophomore season, again, more as a reserve defensive back and on special teams. Same thing in 14, all 12 games, but mostly as a reserve and special teams contributor. And then 15, he played in 8 games as a backup defensive back. So this guy was a career backup at UNC, never broke out, but, you know, played, stuck with the team for 4 seasons and graduated from UNC. TJ Giles, what can you tell us about his recruitment and your take?
Yeah, so the main thing with his recruitment was, he was just an athlete, a huge athlete. The staff really liked him, and he had committed to the prior staff, and the new staff was trying to hold on to him. UCF came in strong late, and the reason why that was such a threat was because TJ was in a situation with his family where he basically was the man of the house, and his mom, he had a lot of younger siblings, and he really kind of helped his mother raise them. So when you know, him leaving to go to North Carolina was kind of hurting his family in a way, because that's one less person to kind of help things out. So that kind of weighed on him, and UCF was much closer, but UNC obviously won out. His ranking on 24/7 Sports was at 87. You saying he's a career backup, and I agree. He's definitely not 87. Where do you think he's at?
Yeah, I mean, 80 to 83, Power 5 backup. There you go.
All right.
TJ Giles. All right, moving on. Junior Nankande from Georgia by way of the Ivory Coast.
Very good. I love it. I love the way you knew where he was at, and then also you pronounced his last name correctly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a professional. While you were counting sheep, I was reading up on 2012 UNC football recruits. While you were in the fart sack, I was working. All right, 6'4", 225. Obviously put on a lot of weight in college. Was a physical freak from what I remember covering him. 86.77. I don't know anything about his recruitment, so enlighten us on his recruitment, how he ended up at UNC.
Well, he kind of just fell on UNC's lap. UNC was Vic Koning was looking for a bandit because for this new defense that obviously he's bringing in, didn't have a bandit on roster. And this was supposed to be the bandit guy. And the way that he fell on UNC's lap was he was a longtime Georgia Tech commit. You know, being from the Ivory Coast, he wanted to go to an engineering school, came to the United States to get a really good education. So that was pretty big. And then Georgia Tech, for whatever reason, said they couldn't get him in. And it was after he had shut it down, wasn't talking to anybody. He had a very, very strong accent. So his coach did a lot of the handling of recruiting for him. So it was really easy for his coach to say, okay, he's firm to Georgia Tech. We're not talking to anybody else. And so when Georgia Tech dropped him, and I think it was like in January, they kind of scrambled to contact guys, try to find a home for him. North Carolina ended up working out. I think he took the official visit the following weekend and ended up committing before it was all said and done. So that was the story with him. The one thing I will say is I remember when he actually committed to North Carolina, his coach said, hey, do you want to talk to Junior? And I said, all right, great. Let's do this interview. And I could not use the quotes because I couldn't understand him. And I'm not trying to make fun of him. It was just the how difficult it was for me to understand. His accent was just so strong. That was the one thing I remember, just how strong his accent was. And I just knew from that point forward I was going to continue to go through his coach because of so I would understand what was going on.
Yeah, it's funny how you said, like, he's from Ivory Coast, so of course he wanted to go to Georgia Tech. Like, Ivory Coast is some hotbed for engineers. I know what you meant, though. He wanted to get a really good education coming here from Africa.
Yeah.
Okay, his career quickly here, 2013, He was a redshirt freshman, so he redshirted in 12. He appeared in all 13 games, not much else there. In 14, he appeared in all 13 games and started producing 41 tackles, 5 tackles for a loss, 2 quarterback hurries, 2 pass breakups, 1 sack, 1 forced fumble. Similar stats in 15, his junior season, 11 games, 34 tackles, 7 for a loss, 3.5 sacks. So he was a kind of a big-time contributor along the line. I remember covering him that season. He was funny because he could speak English for sure. And, like, he refused to do interviews. He said he couldn't speak English. But, like, everyone knew he could speak English. He just didn't want to talk, which is pretty funny. And that was kind of it. I mean, he played all those 3 seasons, and he finished with 97 career tackles, 4.5 sacks, 12 tackles for a loss. He was a big-time player, 11 quarterback hurries, 5 pass breakups, 2 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries. And then he kind of surprisingly transferred to Troy. And at Troy, he played 12 games, 36 tackles. He graduated from UNC in 4 years, and then he transferred to Troy to follow Coach Koenig to Troy in Alabama. 12 games, 36 tackles, 3 tackles for a loss, 2 sacks, 1 forced fumble. I thought it was surprising because I thought he could be a big-time player. In 16, it was a little of a head-scratcher. I don't know if you remember that at all, Don.
Yeah. No, I remember. I mean, I was always expecting something huge for him and always was like, all right, this is going to be the year where he just breaks out, and just never seemed to happen. With an 86 ranking, what are your thoughts on that ranking?
I'm looking at things here. That about fits, right? I mean, okay. Right at the border of – yeah, I mean, he could be a little bit higher. I think he had a lot of potential as a recruit, so he could be in that 87 range, 88 range. I think he definitely had the potential to be an impact player. I think he was during his 2 breakout years at UNC.
Okay. All right. Kedrick Davis was a wide receiver from Berry Academy outside of Charlotte. 3-star guy. The thing I remember about him from his recruitment was his speed. I mean, everywhere he went, when he would run the 40-yard dash, it would impress some people. I don't remember, and I tried looking up, but I couldn't find it, what his exact track time was. But I remember that he actually, in a high school track meet, beat Romar Morris, and it was just an amazing time. The time I have in my head, I don't want to say just in case, is wrong, and I have some sort of Paul Bunyan-esque sort of memory of this kid's speed. But he was blazing fast. The problem is that the speed rarely translated to the football field. So now he was one of your guys, though. So what can you tell us about his career?
Yeah, Kedrick Davis, he ran track at UNC as well, and so definitely a speed guy. He played 3 seasons at UNC. Only really saw meaningful minutes his redshirt sophomore year for the Tar Heel defense at cornerback. He came in as a wide receiver, I believe, and had never played corner, and they moved him to corner in Fedora's first year. Is that what you remember about him, cornerback, and then moved to – sorry, wide receiver, then moved to cornerback?
Yes.
Okay, and his recruitment indicates that. He was a wide receiver at Berry Academy in Charlotte. He earned 2 degrees from UNC, and he played 3 seasons, and he transferred to UNC Charlotte. And I couldn't get much stats from what he did at UNC Charlotte, but obviously I think I read a whole story on him. He felt like he was underutilized at UNC and wanted a shot somewhere else, which is pretty common, and he went back to his hometown and played for the 49ers, and that was kind of the end of his football career. But got 2 degrees from Carolina and kind of did it the right way, it seems.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a lot of people look at it and say, and for our, when we look at the rankings thing, we're going to say he's, you know, probably didn't live up to his numbers. But really, in reality, he went to school, got 2 degrees from the UNC, which is great.
And was a graduate transfer at UNC Charlotte before the days when graduate transfer is such a hot thing.
Yeah.
All right. So we're actually going to stop right there. It's getting a little long, and we want to break this up. These classes are long, and we want to make sure we spend enough time and not rush through the second half. When we return with this class, I'm assuming we'll do it next week or the week following, depending on if there's any giant recruiting news. We'll dive into the second half of the 2020 class. A lot of guys that Don researched, and some cool names like John Heck, Candler Coker, John Ferranto, Nick Weiler, Jesse Rogers, some guys that you'll definitely remember. So that's about it for us here. Remember to submit your top 5. What is it? Top 5
bucket list
sporting events. That's really cool. We need more than 2 submissions to get those in. You can just rattle them off and explain why. Anything else from you, Donald?
We need, I'm going to call out the Michelles to send in their list, their top five. Hopefully they're listening.
All right, good stuff. And that's it for us. We appreciate you listening, and we will be back next week.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.